What the fuck is up? Another fun-filled edition of Crosstalk Unhinged.
You all right over there?
The gang's all here.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Carmen's got a head cold.
Yeah, a little bit.
Got a little whiskey hangover, no?
No, just that stupid cold is like kind of, it lingers. You know, it takes a few days to like fully flush the system.
Yeah. It's lingering.
More than a few days.
Good.
I think it's sometimes a cold takes a good 7 to 10 days to get out of the system.
Are you a believer, though, that you can take something or do something that will abbreviate it?
No. I think it's just got to run its
course. What about like those emergencies, like all that vitamin C stuff? My wife's a big believer in those.
I think a lot
of it's early.
Just the big marketing.
I think it is too.
I
think you got to.
The zinc stuff, though, there are a lot of people. She's a huge believer that if you get that early, that you can shorten it.
I don't dispute that, but I think if you eat a balanced diet, what ends up happening is if you take more zinc than your body can absorb, you piss
it
out
anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You pee pee it
you
out.
You piss it out.
Same with vitamin C and everything else, you know? And
it run its course.
I eat pretty healthy, so I do what I do, and, you know, but it's why you just got to run its course.
That's why you need a daily regimen of vitamins.
I take a daily regimen.
Right. I mean, your body will take what it needs, and then it'll dispose of the rest. That's why you got to replenish it every day.
Yeah. I feel it's weird because, like, I feel fine. It's just it's sitting in my nose, basically. That's it.
It's where a cold usually sits.
Every morning when I wake up, I drink a glass of Metamucil. I put a big heaping teaspoon
of
Metamucil.
Such an old fuck.
Yeah, you're an old fuck. Then 2 hours later, because
take a big
you got to let it go.
You got the Metamucil ready for me.
Then I take vitamin C. I take fish oil. And I take just the multivitamin. That's my regimen.
Done.
Every
then you're done. You're good to go.
Rub one out then.
No,
you don't add that into the equation.
No, I don't do that after the vitamins.
No?
Trying to replenish all the fluids and all the
Metamucil. Hey, it keeps you regular. That's good.
You can laugh all the fuck you
want. No, it's good.
Let me tell you something. He's as regular as anyone I know.
It changed my life.
Really?
I'm not lying.
Good.
I started taking it about 12 years ago.
Really?
Changed my life.
How so?
It made my dump schedule more regulated and more regimented. And, like, I would have stomach aches all day.
Mm.
And I would have to run to the bathroom. Now, I do go to the bathroom quite a bit.
He's like WBBM. He's like,
on the 15th, on the 8th.
Shit's on the 8th.
Yes. But it's no longer is it like a fucking water balloon that just exploded.
It's not liquidy?
No.
What
fiber.
Do you have a nice firm shit, sir?
I mean, they're firmer when I wake up than they are as the day goes on, but I don't have, you know.
How many do you take a day, though?
Four or five.
That can't be healthy.
Did you ever reach into the toilet and just squeeze
healthy?
Four dumps a day. How can it not be healthy?
I can't be.
Wait, there's two things going on. What's going on
here? Have you ever reached into the toilet and squeezed
your crap? No, I haven't.
To see how firm it is or not?
I haven't.
I'm asking.
No, you haven't either.
No, I haven't. I'm asking if you've ever felt it.
I would like a... doctor that listens to this podcast.
That is the strangest question that has ever...
If there are any medical doctors that listen, it can't be... you should be taking four dumps a day,
I don't think
you?
It's a bad thing. Like three... I
dump
think
every
anywhere
morning,
from one to four or five.
Every morning, usually get one in at work here, and then, I'm dumping at night again.
Yeah. Just take three shits a day?
I'm like,
I think a doctor would tell you it's worse for you the less you shit, because otherwise you're keeping all of...
That's toxic.
Toxic stuff
in your
system. That
stuff's toxic,
man.
I think it depends on the person is what I've been told.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a regular three a day guy.
Let's just play this out.
In the morning, absolutely, for sure.
Two in the morning right off the bat.
Let's play this out as people with that none of us have medical degrees.
First cup,
I play a quick doubleheader right away.
If I take three shits a day, how can that be bad for me? Are you saying I'm not getting enough nutrients because it's not absorbing?
I don't know, but it just seems like four or five a day seems excessive.
I think you're building up, you know? You're kind of just packing... The thing, you know, you're packing it and you're moving it down. And then, you know, you're at the top elevator when it comes in. And on the bottom elevator, you're taking a crap. That's where it goes.
My digestive system works quick. Hang around.
Thanks to the Metamucil.
Yeah. Metamucil actually provides fiber, which means, that, you know, I mean, it's...
The quick Google search seems to return that...
What is the average number of
that? The only thing that sort of matters is if it's consistent.
Yes.
If you take one a day... consistently,
that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah. If you take five a day consistently, that's fine. That seems to be the early return. See,
that's what I've heard, Carm. That's indications of good gut health. Don't poop on the poop schedule.
Because I really only take one or two a day. That's
fine. But as long as, all right.
So it seems to be if it's consistent, it's healthy.
Right. Even if it's only one a day. Right. If you do one a day every day, that's good.
My point is, though, every once in a while, you should touch it just to make sure it's firm. It's firm. That's all.
What is wrong with you?
Do you ever...
Are you going to ask me to taste my own urine at some point, too?
I didn't say that. That's sick. I mean, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You're reaching into the... reach into the toilet.
God forbid if you're ever in a situation...
Your urine is sterile, isn't it?
Well, you can drink... No, yours to anybody else is definitely poisonous.
Right.
To you...
Right.
And they say, God forbid, you're ever in a situation where you're lost and you don't have water, you can drink your own pee.
Was that Better Call Saul or was that Breaking Bad?
No, it was Better Call Saul. Yeah. And Bear Grylls, when he used to do that show, would talk about it. Like, if you are without water and you are that desperate, you can drink your own urine.
By the way,
disgusting, but to help
you
keep yourself hydrated.
Bear Grylls was actually staying in hotels.
That's what I'd heard. Yeah. But I did.
Was staying in a hotel? Oh, he was cheating?
Yeah, they were filming the show. From what I understand.
Yeah, you'd see cars in the back.
Right. One time there was like a car driving down the highway.
Down Route 66. He's pretending like there's someplace.
But they do. But it is apparently something that you, if, you were in a dire situation. If you had to, you could drink your own.
That doesn't make me a sick person.
I bet Yurko can recall this person's name. He's really good with this sort of stuff. The marathon runner who cheated and
Frank Shorter.
No, Rosie Ruiz.
Yes, Rosie Ruiz. Did she hop on like the subway?
Yeah.
She got a taxi.
Yeah.
Take me to the finish line.
Yeah, take me 2 miles from the finish line.
Did she win?
She didn't have a sweatshirt.
Joan Benoit Samuelson is gutting it out all the way.
Her nipples were perfect. They weren't.
I don't remember if she won, but they caught her. I mean, they knew she had cheated.
She took a taxi or a subway or something and went to the finish line and finished.
But she's still moving her feet.
This was the Boston Marathon, wasn't it? Yeah. This was
years ago, right? In the 80s.
This is when we were
Rosie
kids.
Ruiz. Like there are certain names.
Yeah.
Like, there's times I can't recall someone's on the Bears from 3 years ago.
I know, me too.
But I'll never forget Rosie Ruiz.
She's a cheater.
Never. Remember
she's a cheater.
Remember a couple years ago, the Fox game was, they did a halftime interview, and we said, who is that guy? I didn't know who the player was. I said,
who is that?
What was that guy's name? I still don't even remember. And then people are like, how could you not know who that is? I'm like, how could I fucking not know who it is?
I remember that.
Because he hasn't played a fucking snap.
It was a linebacker, right?
Yeah, it was some linebacker that hadn't played a snap all year.
What's her name on Fox?
Laura Oakman or somebody had done it.
Laura Oakman, yes.
Yeah, I know Laura Oakman before I knew who the fucking linebacker was. I was like, who is that? That's a Bear?
Could you name all the Bears linebackers right now?
No.
I know I couldn't.
Knock the fuck out of here.
Nick Morrow, 55.
Matt Adams.
Roquan.
But there's 58. Somebody like on special teams that you're not going to recognize. I'm sorry. I don't have every fucking
Jack
special
Sanborn.
Team.
Have we seen a Jack Sanborn in the regular season?
Has he played special teams, maybe?
He's played special teams, I think. I don't know.
I think I heard fucking Bill Belichick talk about
him. I don't know. I was going to ask, did Belichick mention him? I don't think he did.
None of us still remember who that linebacker was they interviewed. But we can remember Rosie Ruiz. Yeah. You're right. That Rosie Ruiz is a lot more memorable than that linebacker they interviewed that day. So-and-so told me coming out of the locker room, and I'm like, wait, who did? What does he know?
Right.
He's not on the team. Oh, no, he is?
Isn't it amazing, and I know this is sportsy, but...
You don't have to apologize for that.
People, I'm going to stop thinking about that. Yurko gave me good advice.
Yeah.
Just do the show, whatever comes out. Exactly. Like, we didn't plan on more shit talk at the beginning. It seems like every episode we have a conversation about taking shits, and it just happens.
By the way, the best shit conversation I've ever been a part of or heard was Mark Schlereth talking to us last week.
Was that good? I loved it.
That was the best shit
for those who missed it, it was Friday's show. Grab it on this app, the ESPN Chicago app.
Time you've promoted it.
I've
heard on your show you promoted to listen to Schlereth during our crosstalk. You promoted
just because you don't like him. Didn't you have a?
I've got Mark Schlereth and I are tremendous pals.
It's you and Golic who don't
We're
like each
fantastic.
Other.
Fantastic. Yes.
He called himself the Jason like Bourne of shitting.
He was a piece of shit to me one time.
He was. I
so
saw
he
it.
Go
I witnessed
fuck
it.
Himself.
I
That's
witnessed.
What I think
I witnessed
about
it.
Mike Golic.
I did witness it. I was there.
Yeah. Pompous ass.
In Dallas, right?
Yeah, it was in Dallas.
He was looking over your shoulder for somebody else?
No, that wasn't even that.
It wasn't even that.
I said hi to him.
He was such a...
There were four of us.
Yeah, he was...
Justin Craig, Mike Golic, myself, and Carmen.
Yep.
I said hello and went to shake his hand.
Did he get uncomfortable, Carm?
Not that it got uncomfortable. He was just...
He was a douchebag.
He really was. There's no other way to put it. He was so douchey in that moment.
Right. Like, which really? Is weird, and Justin used to produce him.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, they carried their conversation on. They went about their business.
Listen, there's no reason to be a douche regardless. No.
Yeah. It's a fraternity. Well, you guys are in a radio fraternity, football fraternity.
It did make a difference to me, but at that point, I knew exactly who he was. So when bad things started to happen to him, I laughed. So I could do. I just laughed.
This is unhinged now.
So that's
now,
fine.
Now we're
I don't care.
But Schlereth, you're good with.
Always,
like Mark.
Schlereth and I got into it over Cuddy. Do you remember that? Do you remember we were at Joe's?
No.
That was the high point of the relationship between Cuddy and me. And I don't even think Cuddy was at that show. It was before.
And Schlereth had less than kind words to say, I think, wasn't
it? It was about quitting. It was all about
the whole
game.
Yeah.
He was a part of the crew. You had to wheel me off of a if I wasn't going to be in a game, you would have had to take me off on a cart.
The old Mo Jones Drew conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And then when Cuddy and Mark Block, who is his business manager, got wind that I went at Schlereth like that. That was the high point of my relationship with Cuddy.
And now he won't return your text.
We're in a bad spot again.
Why? What happened?
Well, nothing happened.
Did he sleep with Cavallari?
He put you on the panel.
No, that would be a real high point.
The low point was when Yurko was around it, and it was when I was wanting... It's like very Joshua topical Poole. Today because of all the backup quarterbacks who are doing well. Yeah. When Josh McCown went 13 touchdowns and one interception, and I started going on the show saying I want Josh McCown to continue to play, and we were doing the Jay Cutler show.
Yeah.
And I was tweeting about it, and some in the inner circle of Jay told Jay about this, and Jay was very pissed at me. Mm. And then he signed the new contract extension, and then Waddle goes on vacation, and I've got Yurko.
We did the show together.
Doing co-host at a Hawkeyes. And never once, I sat down with Yurko at the Starbucks in Little Italy there, and I looked at Yurko, I go, Yurko, I need you today. I don't ask for much ever from you. I go, he fucking hates me right now. I go, if he goes after me, will you please have my back? Like, I was nervous for that show.
On your own, kid.
You know what happened. I started throwing alley-oops to Jay. I'm waiting for him to dunk.
But you and Jay made up, and Jay's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Goes through these patterns where he puts you guys on the pay-no-mind list.
Every now and
then. Yeah, he's just will respond.
Hammered, and he called in from Castaways.
Oh,
I called to talk
to Steve.
Silverman, I think, instead of Mark Silverman.
And he had Waddle as Tim. He had Tim Waddle. I used to watch Tim Waddle.
Yeah.
Or Tom. Close.
But Bill Belichick called me Tim, too.
Exactly.
Here's what I think happened over the recent, why I don't think we're getting a response now.
What happened?
I don't blame him.
Blame yourself.
Zetterman?
Yes. When Danny said...
He insulted him, didn't he?
No, Danny said, we'll give Jay a blank check to do a show. Jay took that literally. Jay thought it was a blank check, and they came back with a number.
Was it a lot?
That was a blank checkish number.
$5 million?
It was a huge number to do a show every Monday after Bears games.
Right.
And
so it would be like 17 shows?
And we're like...
18 shows.
And so after we didn't get the show done, I don't think now he's when we called him.
I'm guessing on.
We have not gotten response, and I believe that's why.
Why do it for free? You guys offered to pay me, then you won't pay me.
Well, not only did we offer to pay him, we offered him a blank check.
Sylvie and I aren't in charge of paying people.
I get you. Was it $250? Is that what he wanted? $180? What kind of number was it? $10,000 a show?
I don't know the details.
I'm guessing that's what
it was. Let's just say it was a lot.
Yeah.
Just say
$10,000 a show.
I don't know the exact.
Couldn't
number,
get a ticket. It was a sold out show.
It was a bunch.
Yeah, something like
my guess is it was more than $10,000 a show.
Now $182.50 is where I got it in that range.
I think we would have done that if it was. Yeah.
Hey, you have to have it. Oh, more.
Yeah, I'm 500. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's.
Oh, you put half a million dollars down there.
I don't know.
You guys
I don't
are
know.
Animals.
Why are we animals? We didn't do anything.
I don't know. Well, any of the details.
Listen to me. And I love Danny, but come on. You can't be.
Sure you can.
You've got to be a businessman at some point. You can't say, we'll give you a blank check.
Danny was doing it as a bit.
Well, I mean, you know,
Danny's a producer at heart.
I think Danny wanted a Jay Cutler show.
Of course he did. We definitely did.
Jay literally said blank.
They're like, okay, well, we'll fill it in with this number. And I guess we're like, no. And then they're like, you said blank check.
Let me do the math. Hold on. My guess is.
And then now we're like, hey, Jay, what do you think of Justin? Can you come on Monday with us?
He put two comments down.
There's crickets.
I'm guessing he wanted $850,000. $50,000 a show.
Waddle, do you know? Because I don't
17
know.
I don't know exactly.
You know.
I don't know exactly.
Yes, you know.
No, I don't.
Because you kept doing this behind my back.
Well, I know that. I know that it was higher than what you were saying.
Wow. It's $850, isn't it, Tommy?
I don't think it's that high.
Not that high?
I said
$50,000 a show times 17 shows. He wouldn't do the bye week.
So if you do a 30th show, $540.
Right? Yeah.
$540?
That I don't know.
Oh, you are such a waffling little bastard.
No, 5, 10, because he wouldn't do 18 shows. He wouldn't do a bye week. He'd do 17 shows right after every Bears game.
30, it'd be 30.
Listen, we would like to, at some point, have a conversation with Jay. You guys are jeopardizing that for 2024.
I'm going to be Frank.
I'll be Carmen.
Listen, we don't even have producers on our show. Our producers are on air guys. We went through that.
Yeah, exactly.
We did that.
What do they spend on our show?
What do they spend monetarily?
Extracurriculars for anybody that we have on. 22 cents?
Oh, we don't. We don't see many cents. Guests. We're not on long enough. We don't have a lot of regulars.
No, we don't do that.
We have Furman, you know, does it out of the goodness of his heart.
So we don't even think about it. The idea is not to even have Jay Cutler on our show because we've been conditioned to have nothing. So we're used to.
We used to have the Kyle Long show.
He joined us last year for free.
We should call Kyle. Kyle would love to come.
No, we've asked him. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
No, just one time.
He does his podcast.
He wants to save his creativity for what he's got.
I don't blame him.
He said, I can't. If I do that, then it won't be natural when it comes on my show.
Yeah. We've asked him a few times.
He's carved out a nice, you know, he does the podcast. He does CBS Sports.com, I think. He does a lot of stuff these days.
We had the Miggy Montero show for 1 week.
Yeah, remember that? That was a good one. That was so much fun.
Then he threw Jake Arrieta under the bus and they cut him.
He made more news, you know.
Remember that? Oh, well, the best is when he joined us, the parade.
Sylvie tried. I mean, this is the highlight of Sylvie's time as a Cubs fan.
And so, World Series champion.
It's one of the greatest sports moments of my life.
Yes, and Sylvie's trying to save him.
And I'm conflicted because normally it's the last thing Sylvie would ever do.
He would be out there feeding.
As a radio host, like, he's going after the manager, and I'm like, this is gold for the show. He's going to crush the manager. But it's in my greatest sports dream. The Cubs have won the World Series, and Miggy was a big hero in that. Game 7, the unsung hero. It wasn't just Zobrist. It was Miggy. And he hit the grand slam against the Dodgers in the NLCS. And I'm like, Miggy, this is parade day. You don't want to just go after Joe, do you? He's like, yeah, fuck that guy.
It was the best.
I should have played more.
It was so memorable.
Sylvie and I looked at each other, Carm. I think both of us were stunned in our faces. Turned sheet white.
The Cubs won on a Wednesday night, right? So Wednesday night in Cleveland.
Tuesday, Wednesday, game six and seven.
So they win Wednesday night in Cleveland.
November 1st and 2nd, 2016.
Yurk and I stay in Cleveland, do the show Thursday morning in Cleveland, the day after the Cubs win the World Series. We come back, but I was off that Friday. It was a month before my 40th birthday, and we were going to New Orleans. So I'm off the day, because the parade was Friday then, right? That's how it went?
Yes.
And I'm off. I'm at the airport getting ready to get on a plane, and I see, and I'm not listening now, all right? I'm like, I'm done. I'm checked out. Cubs won. We did the blah, blah, blah. I didn't give a fuck being here for the parade anyway. I'm not a Cub fan. I'm gone. I'm going to New Orleans for the weekend. And then, like, the texts start coming in, and I think it was this big group text from a bunch of guys in the neighborhood. I think it was that. That was the first time I saw it. They're like, this is amazing. Is everybody listening to Waddle and Sylvie? Miggy, and I'm like, what's going on? And so I have to go on the podcast. I think we were about to take off. We get New Orleans. I go on the podcast. I'm walking through New Orleans, like listening to, going back, listening, because everybody is inundating. Like, can you believe Miggy Montero on Waddle and Sylvie? And I'm like, this is fucking priceless how good it is. Like,
it was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And Sylvie tried to save
me. The day of the parade, it was an all-timer.
And we're hoping to have Hayward in studio on the anniversary because he's still living in town. And I want to, again, ask him the details, because Arrieta did confirm with us on the air that that speech was a fuck Joe Madden speech. Oh, like, that's the untold story.
Right, exactly.
That it wasn't just a, hey, guys, we got to pick ourselves up off the mat,
yeah,
and we've got to win this game. The untold story about the Jason Hayward weight room speech was, hey, don't let that fucking guy cost us the World Series. Taking out Kyle Hendricks, taking out John Lester. Hey, Chappie, pick yourself up. Don't worry about him. He fucked you. He fucked everybody. Yeah. We've got to win this for us, and fuck him.
Wow.
That's what the speech was about. Arrieta confirmed it. We had always heard that.
Amazing.
I want to hear if Hayward would finally confirm it.
Montgomery got the final out, right? Yes. Wasn't it Montgomery?
Yeah.
Montgomery.
Yeah. What was his first name? Why am I blanking?
Mike Montgomery. Do you remember who he was traded for?
Was it Roberto Clemente?
He was from Seattle, right? They got him from Seattle.
Someone who played a big role on, not a big role, but a role on a playoff team and got some big headlines down the stretch this year.
Damn. So he's still playing. Someone's
still playing, and he looks like another famous ex-Cub.
Because they traded him to Seattle, right?
Yes.
Sylvia?
Yes.
Fuck, why can't I think who the Mike Montgomery trade? I don't know.
Vogelbach.
Oh, Dan Vogelbach. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a big fella.
And there was a time when Schwarber was really big, when you would see them in camp and you're like, is that Vogelbach or is that Schwarber? Which one is that?
I forgot Schwarber
Vogelbach
was hefty.
Is now twice as big as
Schwarber. Schwarber
got
Schwarber's himself
in great shape.
Yeah, he really slimmed down compared to when he was a rookie.
It wasn't just Schwarber slimmed down. I think Vogelbach got bigger.
That could
he inflated.
Be.
Yeah.
But with the Mets, you know, Vogelbach was getting a lot of good headlines.
He could hit. They always knew he could hit. I mean, he's not like Schwarber, obviously.
No.
Like, he's one of those guys, you know, what would Terry Crowley call him? Throw one of the, well, I don't know. It's too insensitive, even for Unhinged maybe these days. But
you're talking about the rant, Earl Weaver?
Yeah, Earl Weaver. What he said about Terry Crowley, yeah.
What did he say about him?
I don't know if I want to use the term. It's a little derogatory.
He was fat?
No, but one of those big.
CS?
Yeah, one of those big blanks. Yeah, and get up and hit a fucking home run for you like any other fan in the fucking stands. Terry Crowley's lucky he's in fucking baseball. We figured he can get up there once in the eighth inning and hit one out of the fucking park.
Google the Earl, like for all the younger people listening, when you're done with the Unhinged podcast, Google Earl Weaver rants or the Earl Weaver show.
That's it. Yeah.
And I think he does this as a bit.
He did it as a spoof.
Was he blasting heaters in the dugout too?
He must have been, right?
Like, I know Sparky was, and obviously Leland was.
Like 5'7", just a ball of terror. You don't want to fuck with Earl Weaver back in the day.
I give that guy credit. Cut from that cloth. Waddle is
5'7" and smoking heaters.
No, you would smoke heaters in the dugout if you were managing.
Why not?
Earl Weaver was ahead of his time, though. Earl Weaver in the 70s was like fucking sacrificing and stealing bases. Get the fuck out of here. He was getting fucking up there and hit home runs.
That's all he cared about. Fucking,
Oh my God. He was way ahead of his time. He's like good pitching and a bunch of guys who can hit home runs. Yeah. Fuck everything else. You don't need it. Don't be stealing. Don't be sacrificing.
How great is it that the Great American Ballpark is putting in a fucking casino or putting in like a sports book? My guy Pete can't get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, listen, can't bet on your own games. You can't.
How about
do
the
it.
Irony of that, though?
That's what I said to Waddle. I go, even though the casino's in there, it's not like the current Reds manager can make a bet.
No, I know, but it's just like the visual and the it all doesn't compute.
They all embrace it. Yeah. Did you see the United Center one?
Oh, I didn't see it.
I saw FanDuel, right? Is that what?
Yes, it's a FanDuel one, but like, it's just another place to go before the game.
Hang out.
And drink.
Yeah. You can't bet yet, can you?
I mean, don't think so, but you know, I don't know
Wrigley's
if there's going to be a geo
one up,
fence.
Right? They're building one out by where the Captain Morgan Club.
Morgan Stanley.
You make some trades.
What are you, investing? What's going on?
Market's up a little
Tommy
bit today.
Tommy D Trader.
I love
100
it. Is it up?
Who cares?
100
points. By the time you listen to it, it will be down again.
Well, it was up 300. Now it's down 100 there or up 100.
That's the kind of swing.
Just, but, like, I love, like, some of these lounges are great. Just go sit, have a drink before the game. another place. It's cool.
How many times, though, have you gone to the local casino and hung out in the sports book?
You were right on that. I used to fight Waddle on this. I'm like, oh, we could always use enough. Like, when we go to Vegas, we love sitting in the sports book. Once they start building these sports books, we're going to go every weekend. We're going to hang out. Waddle's like, no, you're going to sit on your couch and you're going to play on your
phone.
Yeah. And that's what all we did last time. We sat on our couch watching the Bulls game. We made a bunch of plays.
When you go to Wrigley now, are you claustrophobic? Do you feel claustrophobic? I remember when it used to just be the stadium, and it was wide open. You could see the sky. You get there now, it's a little on top of everything.
Too many buildings?
Yeah. Too many big buildings. Tall
that's
buildings.
What I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, they don't. All they can do is build
up. They're taking any of the room away. The parking lot that was close and across the street, gone. The McDonald's was open. Now it's all, it's on top of you. It's weird. It's weird. If you didn't.
It's like they dropped a stadium in a commercial area.
You moved away,
back, yeah.
Right? For 15 years.
You wouldn't recognize it.
You come over there, you go, where the fuck am I?
You wouldn't recognize it.
Where is
I agree with that.
Yeah. It's a little bit different. I'm not saying it's a bad thing or anything.
Right.
I'm not saying any of that.
I'm
just saying I get a tad bit claustrophobic there now.
I do think it's a little bit more faceless now.
It's upscale. It's not as.
That's true.
But to speak to what you're saying, Johnny,
faceless.
Do you remember where the Starbucks was right there?
Yeah.
It was all open. Now it's a giant, four-story building, and then across
everywhere.
The street.
Just like downtown, too. They took all the open parking lots, and they built on all the parking lots. It was a...
Which is why they're trying to keep the parks, but everybody always wants to do something with the parks and the lakefront, you know?
You can't fuck with the parks. You should never.
Well, this is open land. This was just land that's parking lots.
Right. I get it. Yeah, I know, but that's why we keep Grant Park.
Right.
Access. Exactly. All the park lands that you have on the lakeshore, there's a reason they have
Absolutely.
You could have more parks now where Soldier Field is.
That was Daniel Burnham's vision.
It was. Yes. They built off the vision. European model. Absolutely.
But there still are dive bars. If you still want to go to Wrigleyville, there's Bernie's.
There's some.
Could still go to Cubby Bear. Sloggers is awesome. Man. You could still get Sluggers. Your share of all
Deuces.
The old school Murphy's.
Murphy's is
still
there.
Deuces is more of a new school bar, though.
You ever dropped a deuce in Deuces?
I have not, though I would.
Deuce?
I would, if somebody dared me, I'd drop a deuce right there in their little pond.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not nice. You guys have done a show with Deuces.
What animal?
So if somebody dared me, I might do it.
You wouldn't.
There would have to be a stipend. There wouldn't be a dare.
There would definitely be a stipend.
There would have to be some cash
to get you out of bail, to pay your bail.
He's like, dare me, I'll do it.
For all those drunkards that end up diving in there at the end of the night.
Give me 5 G's. I'll drop a deuce right there.
All-time favorite dive bar in the city of Chicago.
Oh, that's a good question. Probably,
mine's on the south side.
Probably.
Mine's on the south side. 96th and Commercial.
My L&L Tavern's really good. It's not far from Wrigley, actually.
The Lodge?
The Lodge is okay.
Back in the day
You know what used to be good? I don't know if it was necessarily a dive bar. Sylvia, you were probably there with me a time or two over the years. Holiday Club on Milwaukee Avenue.
Yes,
remember Holiday Club?
Yeah.
Holiday Club was one of my all-time favorite.
Does Lottie's count as dive bars or too nice?
I think Lottie's is a little bit too nice.
Wasn't there a place called Hang Ups that was a bar?
Hang Ups is still there.
Is it still there? It's a very college bar.
I've only been there when I've been drunk and like a lot of dancing going on.
We would go late and I would go when
I'd be with a girl.
Yeah.
We'd go to Hang Ups and be hammered with a girl.
Yep. Hang Ups is still there.
It had a sign.
It had a sign that had records on it.
Yeah.
It's still there. About a mile
from the Hang Ups.
Yeah, it's still there. Estelle's used to be great in Bucktown next to Double Door underneath
Stanley's
the track.
Stanley's is gone.
What's gone?
Stanley's.
Oh, Stanley's. Yeah, Stanley's was an all-timer. I mean, please. And I don't know if Stanley's is necessarily a dive bar either, but Stanley's was...
106th Street, right by the Illinois-Indiana border, there's a place called Crowbar.
Crowbar.
And it is a dive.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There was a Crowbar here.
That's the club.
This Crowbar's different.
Yeah.
Isn't that where, like, Rodman and them used to be?
Billy Corgan used to go there.
Yep.
I was at Crowbar with Rodman one
time. I remember.
I've
heard that
at the end of the night. And that's where it got too weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's time to go home.
Did you start touching your inner thigh?
He did grab my ass a couple times and slapped me on the ass.
Wow.
Well, but he did that to everybody, though, too.
You're a good-looking man.
It was one night I got to go out with Rodman. It was with Phil. It was spurred by Phil the Jeweler.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Schneider, great guy. Everybody knows him.
Yeah.
You know Phil.
I know Phil.
He is awesome. And he said to me when I was covering the Bulls, he goes, hey, if you want to go tonight after the Bulls game, I was covering the Bulls. He goes, we're going out with Rodman. You got to pay your own way because he doesn't like leeches. Mm-hmm. We're going to start at the drink.
The drink. There's another classic.
And that was a huge club. What's the place? What is it now? It's it's right off of the Kennedy Expressway.
It's Carnival, I think.
Carnival. Yeah. It's where Carnival is.
Yeah, I think that was the drink.
And it was Phil, me, and then a couple of Rodman's buddies. Actually, we started out at Kamahachi on Wells Street.
That's another.
And he started drinking, what is the...
Sake.
Yeah.
Kamahachi.
And he started just pounding those shots.
Hot sake, baby.
And then we went to the drink. And then this is where I always tell the story where we went to another club that was downtown. And in the corners, I've told you this many times, Waddle, was we were at the table with Rodman.
Michael would be in the other corner.
Michael wasn't there. Like, Michael wouldn't hang. But it was Scotty in the other corner with his people. Ron Harper in the other corner with his people. Frank Thomas in the other corner with his people.
Nobody
socialized with anybody.
They were all having their own party.
You just had your own party there. Yeah. You stayed over there.
Yep.
And it was, like, surreal. And Spy Bar is what it was called.
Spy Bar, yeah.
Remember Spy Bar?
Oh, those were all the hot places. Late 90s?
Yeah, late 90s.
You ran the gamut.
Rodman's daughter now is arguably the best women's soccer player in the United States.
Yes. Yeah, she's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's crazy.
World Cup's coming, boys. Got a month, right? Got a month away?
Cutter.
Yeah. November.
Cutter. Yeah, yep. We got a month. Cutter. I'm excited.
This will be fun, right?
I'm torn. What time will it be on television here?
Oh,
early. Because they've got to be 12 hours, 10 hours ahead.
I would have
got the U.S. going to the Elite Eight.
Get the fuck out of here. Go on, go ahead.
I do. They're going to shock the world this year.
All right, I don't know. What do you think? They're in a tough draw, aren't they? They got Iran.
They got England.
They got England.
Wales.
Okay.
England always
too
chokes.
Advanced,
yeah,
right?
But England's good this time, right?
England made the final and they got to the quarterfinals. England's version of what they have going on right now.
England's pretty good right now.
It's
right?
A pretty good version.
Yeah.
Harry Kane, one of their centerpieces.
They have years past. Disappointed.
Harry Kane. Yeah,
absolutely.
Harry Kane. Yeah, he's one of the centerpieces.
How's your Harry Kane?
The
U.S. England game is the day after Thanksgiving. That's going to be a fun way to spend Friday morning. Yeah.
You know, you got youngsters like Mason Mount now.
Yeah,
Phil
Mason
Coden.
Mount's good.
Those are the young players that have kind of starting to take over a little bit.
They're going
to
be good.
They do have
good.
A stiff in the back line, though. Harry Maguire is awful.
How's your Harry Maguire?
Yeah, he's there, too.
His
a lot
brother
of
Pierre is okay, though.
A lot of Harry's in England.
Let me tell you, Enzo.
Remember how often we used to put Pierre Maguire on?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel...
And he was great to us.
I mean, and it feels like...
We can't
even say hockey anymore.
Well, you can on the weekends.
Listen, when hockey was great in the city, it was an eight-year period where it was absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic.
What would we have done without... I mean, the Cubs gave a pretty great run, but the Cubs don't totally unite the city. I mean, at least... Like, what would we have done? The Bulls haven't sniffed the title.
That's what I'm saying. You know, like, the Bears are the Bears. Like, you had the White Sox in 05 and then the Cubs in 16, but other than that, there was nothing except for the Hawks' domination.
Think about that. And did we appreciate it enough? I hope people did, even the hockey haters. Like, I hope you appreciate it because all we do is fucking rip the teams, and rightfully so in this town. I mean, they gave us...
How many people are they getting to go into that building for home games, you think, this year?
I don't
year?
Know. The first home game's
tomorrow, I think.
Tomorrow?
I mean, it won't be sold out, will it?
I think for the first game they might be sold out, but then it's going to quickly become an empty place.
McDavid comes next Thursday.
Now you're going to see other teams' players. It's crazy.
I mean, Kane's still worth the price of admission, in fairness. I mean, he is. He's got nobody to really play with, but Kane's still great. I mean, now you're right. It's like when we used to go to Bulls games when I covered him, you'd want to go, well, Kobe's coming to town or KG's coming to town or Dirk's coming to town. Fucking McDavid's coming, I think, next Thursday. We're leaving for Dallas that night. If not for that, I would have gone for sure.
I'm excited for you guys to go to Dallas again.
It'll be fun.
Have you ever been to the building?
Yes.
Remember they went last time?
We went in.
Oh, you
well,
did?
Not
yeah.
last time, but we were there in 20. Was that
the second year of the building.
2010.
Second year of the building.
Yeah, we were there in 2010.
You know, it may be a crime scene that Sunday.
Well, Micah
with that
Parsons,
defense coming after our offense, yeah, it may be a crime scene.
I don't think that's a good matchup, boys.
Shout out, though, to doubling back to the Hawks. Shout out to Chief on the radio station.
Yeah.
Doing the show with Good Time Patty Boyle.
Absolutely.
From Barstool. I love Chief.
I like Chief a lot, too.
We should do a round of Hawk or not, Black Hawk or not a Black Hawk.
You guys, it was so
You know who we need to do that with? So we need to do that with Barstool Big Cat.
Yeah.
So with Big Cat next Tuesday.
You should do
just
that.
Out of the blue.
We should do it with Pat Boyle. See if he knows them all.
He better.
He knows.
He better know. What are you guys hard for? Anything brought to you by Blue Chew?
What am I hard for?
It's you're hard question. For Bulls basketball, you know, after a big win last night?
Not really. I'm hard for DeMar DeRozan.
Sildy's back on the roller coaster.
I'll tell you, DeMar is something. I don't get it. How at this age? I mean, it's incredible. But
he's not that old, though, when you consider what certain athletes are doing.
He's 14 years in the league.
Yeah, I know. But what LeBron's doing in his age.
At 14?
Yeah, but LeBron's not at 34 having a career year, is he? Like, last year was his best year in the league.
He hasn't had a drop-off.
DeMar DeRozan is playing the best basketball I think we've ever seen him play.
Yeah,
and you're right, it's 1 year and one game, but still, like, bless the guy.
He's not a small guy. He doesn't play like John Morant.
Right.
Again, to me, what I equate it to is the way Tom Brady plays, and with the rules the way they are, he's not going to, he doesn't rely necessarily, he relies more on footwork than athleticism. Yeah. He's still a great athlete.
That's
he
true.
Keeps his body in prime shape.
If he hits 2 out of 3 threes every game he plays, too, yeah, that's going to help his performance as well.
I'm a little bit hard for the Super Bowl rematch from a couple of years ago this weekend. Niners and Chiefs is this weekend. Chiefs have a tough run of games, man. Tough schedule. They go to San Francisco or Santa Clara this week.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, rematch from a couple of years ago. A little hard for that. Good football on Sunday, as always. Well, I shouldn't say as always, but I think it'll be good on Sunday. Let's put it that way.
You hard for anything?
I'm hard for the latest rendition of the Ballon d'Or that went to Karim Benzema from Real Madrid.
Me too. Yes, I was thinking about the same.
That was top notch.
When is the Breeders' Cup?
Well, they only award it once a year. It's for the best soccer player in all of the world.
So not this weekend, next weekend?
Let go talk about the Ballon d'Or.
With the Champions League final that they won last year.
Yeah, Karim Benzema.
Yeah, Karim Benzema is my guy.
Where is he from?
That's who I have. He's from Real Madrid.
Yeah, he's from Real Madrid.
But he's French.
He's a Frenchman.
Yeah. But he plays for Real Madrid. So.
Feels like the first time in forever that either Ronaldo or Messi did.
Modric broke that up.
Oh, but Modric broke it up.
It was for a long time.
But Modric won.
Messi or Ronaldo. And then it was broken up by Modric. And now Karim Benzema got it.
I believe the Breeders' Cup is the first weekend of November?
First weekend of November.
So a couple weeks.
Coming. Yeah,
2 weeks from this weekend.
Yes,
yeah. I'm hard for Mother Nature, who's going to deliver mid-70s this weekend.
Good call, Tommy.
I'm playing Saturday.
Good call, Tommy Waddle.
Super Skins.
Super Skins. Of course.
From Big Cup to Super Skins.
Big Cups.
Of course.
And then the season ends with Flog.
Uh-huh. What's that?
Golf backwards.
Yeah.
Oh. Play so you play 18, backwards. 17?
18.
Yeah. No, you play from the hole to the tee box.
Yeah. No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we play from the
green. That would actually be fun.
From in front of the green to the green going backwards, 18 to 17.
Oh, you do that?
16,
Oh, I thought you just meant you played the green. So you literally tee off in front of the green?
They reset the tees.
Well, what if the one hole is like off to the way
well,
away?
Well, here's how it does work that way, because four of our holes are on one side of the street.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So 1, 2, 17, and 18 are on one side of the street, and the rest of the golf course is across the street.
So you got to hit the ball across the street at some point?
But they've done it 1,000 times, they've got it all situated. Those four holes play as independent four holes where you're playing backwards, and then the other 14 holes.
So you don't have to hit the ball over the street.
And they just put an insert in the tee box?
Hey, one, you got to play over the trees. From the front of the fourth tee to the third green, the only way to get there is through a path, obviously, cart path. But there's you can't hit the ball.
That's awesome.
Whoa. You can't see the damn thing. You got to kind of guess where it is. And they wait for the leaves to come off the trees. Because then maybe you could see through
trees. You tee off in front of the green and you play back to the tee box?
In front of the tee box. In the front of the fourth tee box. We take it up over the forest, over the trees.
But the idea behind playing it backwards is you tee off in front of the green. Is that right, or I have this wrong?
And then hit it to the previous green, right? Is that what you're playing to the previous green?
We tee it up from anywhere we want, as long as it's associated with the previous hole.
Okay.
So we're going 4 to 3.
I got you.
So as long as we're somewhere with 4, we're going back. Remember, somebody's coming from 5 to the green. So you got to get away from
this. This has got to be a fucking disaster. Somebody's going to get hit in the head with a golf ball.
Well,
this is amazing.
Well, they've done it forever. So.
When we play it at Glen Woody,
it's amazing.
You go
Everyone's
got to
wear a
listen,
helmet.
You go from 10 to 9. You are literally going over to putting green, right? The practice putting green.
It's amazing.
And the building is to the right. Most people fade the ball left to right or slice the ball. Invariably, the building gets hit 9, 10 times.
I can imagine.
Yes.
Yeah, this guy lives the life.
Oh,
yeah.
What a life. The weather's going to be spectacular.
Wait till your kids get older.
For some
flaw. Hey, wait till your kids get older, and you got to look at your wife every day.
I know.
You'll be on the golf course, too.
Thanks, here. All right, yeah, Blue Chew.
There's something happy
Blue
for
Chew.
You.
BlueChew.com.
What are you hard for? What'd you say you're hard for?
The Breeders' the weather this weekend. Oh, yeah, it's going to be 75
that's
degrees.
Right. That's yeah. right. That's how we got the golf.
Anybody else? Did you tell
No, I said DeMar DeRozan.
Oh,
yesterday was like... It was the Zach LaVine news. I was completely limp for Bulls basketball,
and then
I sat on my couch and I popped a Blue Chew.
Yeah, DeMar, DeMar was your natural
and then
Blue Chew.
DeMar DeRozan, and I was fucking. I had a rager.
Yeah, so we
I had
went
a
from
raging
6 to midnight.
Hard-on.
Fucking watching DeMar DeRozan.
Dragic gave me a hard on.
Yeah, Dragic played well last night. He did. So did
so
Io.
Did Io. Io really I think Io well. Playing well was the best development of all.
You're good. Give me Dragic.
Dragic. Well, fucking Croatian.
Hey, he's got he's the silver fox these days.
Dragic is Croatian, right?
No, he's Slovenian.
Oh, he's Slovenian.
He plays with Doncic on the national team.
Okay, my bad.
They were both saddened after their loss in the European championships. Yeah.
All right, boys. BlueChew.com, unhinged. Use that code because they'll give you a month's supply for free. We'll see you next week, everybody. Why don't you go fuck yourself?
You go fuck yourself, Carm.